Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Back, it's 12 after the hour. Mr. Robert Cray there, giving you a little blues. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us and for hanging around with us. And thank you for going to my website. And thank you for subscribing to my newsletter, those of you who have, all of you who have. And those of you who wrote the nice notes to me yesterday, I really appreciate that. I wrote a piece about my predictions in the newsletter yesterday. But the 2005 predictions that I've been going over today, and I'm going to do this, the rest of them tomorrow. But I also wrote another little prediction about what I think will happen as a result of the disaster in Southeast Asia. And several of you, it touched several of you, and you wrote me back, and I appreciate that very much. And if you subscribe this week, folks, you still have an opportunity to get that piece. Let me introduce you to Deborah Fine. Deborah is a new friend of ours. She's the author of The Fine Art of Small Talk, and that's what she wants to talk about today, how we can start a conversation, keep it going. Are you good at that? Do you get sweaty palms? Do you get cotton mouth when you feel like you need to do some networking, you need to talk to the boss or whatever? And Deborah's going to help us fix that. Deborah Fine, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's my pleasure to be on your program.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to have you here. Congratulations on your book, The Fine Art of Small Talk.
Thank you very much. And I think some people get sweaty palms, as you said, and then there are some people out there that are pretty gifted in this area and yet are faced with some bump on a log like I used to be and through an entire lunch. And then you wonder, well, is there any way I could make this a little easier to get through or just even turn this person into a client or a customer?
So when you were a little girl, you weren't one of the little girls that the mom and dad had to say, well, does she ever shut up?
Well, little girl, so long ago, I'm surprised I could even remember, Jim. And now it's 2005. How did that happen? But I don't know if you know, I used to be an engineer, and I'm sure many of your listening audiences might have the same background as I, so I'll just pick on myself to say that if I had enjoyed chatting with people, that would not have been the profession I would have chosen. But so just in
engineers,
my case,
engineers enjoy their own company, don't they?
We do, and I only speak for myself once again, but truly one of the reasons I pursued engineering was because not only did I have a love for math and it came a little easily, but I didn't expect to have to interact with people. That was not something that I was good at. You would call me very awkward. I was the person over in the corner of the room with their cup of coffee or cocktail and just watched the rest of you who were born with a gift of gab and just figured also, by the way, that if you're born with it, of course you're good at it. And then the rest of us, you know, we're good at other things.
And you thought pocket protectors were sexy too, didn't you?
Well, actually, Jim, that brings up another good point. You know, one of the things about fashion today is that they don't accommodate pocket protectors, and I tend to be a little more fashionable than I used to be. But I have to be careful because I am, you know, that's who I am. That's my soul and my spirit, and I don't want to insult us. But it is difficult, don't you think, that even lawyers, CPAs, architects, we're expected to bring business into the firm now, and yet who teaches us this stuff? And if you're not like you, Jim, born with it, how do you do this?
What makes you think I didn't used to be an engineer, Deborah?
Well, you just, I don't know if it's that Southern charm, darling, or if it's just that you were born with it, but you just, it sounds so easy for you but that's maybe why you do what you do, or maybe you're just a really great professional and you've learned how to do it well. But
well, the thing that I think that, and I think this is an important part about small talk, Deborah, I think the thing that's helped me the most is I am pathologically curious.
Right. And
I want to know what you think. I want to know how this worked. I probably would have been a good engineer.
Really?
I think I had a little too much attention deficit disorder, perhaps.
Right.
They didn't have Ritalin when I was a kid. So,
right.
So we coped.
Isn't that shocking?
That's exactly right.
Wow.
But the thing is, I do think that don't you think the curiosity is a good way to get small talk going?
Well, absolutely. You bring up a great point. It is a very simple key to remember, is to show an interest in others. Obviously, if you were to show any interest in me, Jim, at this moment, it feels great. Anybody that interested in me must be a very wise and attractive individual.
Incredibly
and of course
intelligent,
you are.
Right?
I've seen your picture. So, but you know, and but That is the main key, and most people know that. I say they know it, and maybe it just doesn't come naturally, but there's so many other little things you can do, as only an engineer would observe, to keep conversations going, to get them started, to even exit. How about exiting people, Jim? I mean, you may be the master, but how do you get away from those people at some networking function who either are holding you hostage, or literally, instead of standing with the same person for the whole function, how about you walk around and not use personally, but get to know some other people. And it doesn't, if I were with you at a networking event, Jim, let's face it, I could hang out with you the whole time because you're so easy to talk to. But, you know, maybe I'm there to meet new people. I need to look for a job. I need to bring in clients. So maybe I shouldn't be standing with you, Jim, the whole time just because you're so easy to talk to.
And after a while, you're going to say, am I never going to get rid of this guy? He won't stop talking.
Well.
But the thing, I like the way they do it on West Wing, you know, on the NBC show,
right,
West Wing,
right.
You know, when they're trying to get away, they say, excuse me, I've got to go do a thing.
Well,
and then they just do an about face and they're gone.
Well, when you work for the president, you can say, you know, I'm trying to remember there's a famous actor, David Niven. He died, I believe, a little over a year ago now.
Yeah.
But this is what he did. He carried two cocktails in his hand at a party, and he would say to me, Deb, right in the middle of mid-sentence, gotta go. I just remember this drink is for my friend. And so he just would work parties with a drink in each fist.
And everybody thought he had a drinking problem. Didn't
exactly. That's exactly right. Isn't that adorable? So
that's
remember
a great
that
story.
One, too. I don't think that West Wing thing really works for us ordinary people like me at a function. I think I could burn a lot of bridges that way. What do you think?
I think you may be right. What about, how do we start a conversation? Before we get rid of this guy, how do we get started?
Okay. Well, let's start. The basic is to show an interest, but you already went there. But this is what most people do. Jim, nice to meet you. So what do you do? So what's your response, Jim?
Well, I would say that...
typically. Jim, what do you do?
Yeah, I would tell you what I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then most people then say, and where are you from, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds like you're not from this part of the country. Where are you from? Where are you from, Jim?
Yeah, I would
tell me.
You.
I want to know.
Yeah, I'm from Concord, New Hampshire, about an hour from Boston there.
Okay, so now what I've become in front of your whole listening audience is an FBI agent. I went from what do you do to where are you from? Just and that's what a lot of us do it either because we're nervous.
But doesn't that sound a little interrogative?
Yes, that's why I call it an FBI agent.
Yeah.
So instead, whatever you want to start with, if you want to start with what do you do, or you want to start with what are you looking forward to in the coming year, or you want to start with what do you think of this movie, stay on topic for a few minutes.
Right.
What do you do, Jim? Well, I'm an advocate for small business, and I own it. So tell me what that entails, Jim.
And you also want to compliment him a little bit, don't you? Wow, that's interesting.
Absolutely.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I call that in my book a verbal cue to encourage them to keep going.
Stand by, Deborah. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our new friend, Deborah Fine, the author of The Fine Art of Small Talk. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Ladies and gentlemen, there are two kinds of experts. One expert is the kind that was born to be that kind of an expert. It came natural for them. It was something that they do falling off a log. They have no problem with it at all. It just rolls. It just exudes out of them. It's the way God meant them to be. And those are good. Those are experts. Those are people you want to pay attention to. But the ones you really want to value, the ones you really want to slow down and listen to everything that they say, are the people who the thing that they become an expert at is the opposite of what they originally were, what they started out being. And yet they overcame a lot to become knowledgeable, to become an expert, to become a person that you want to listen to in that field. And Deborah, I think you're kind of like that second group.
Well, I thank you, and that is the category I belong in. I learned how to do this. And during the breaks, would you say I'm doing okay, Jim?
Yeah, I think you're doing great.
Oh, good. Thanks.
No,
I'm
I think
to
you're
keep
doing
up
great.
With you. It's hard.
the thing that I think you've got going for you with the small talk, and I think this is very important, and I'm sure you talk about it in your book, is you also have a good sense of humor, and you're capable of laughing at yourself, and that kind of personality You know, whether you had the original inclination to be chatty or not, you've got that kind of a personality, that kind of a warm personality that makes people want to spend some time with you. And isn't that an important thing to try to acquire if you don't have it?
Well, absolutely. But I will say it's very intimidating to hear words like that. If you're not gifted at conversation, people often think, oh, well, I have to be a good joke teller or a good storyteller. You know, they've seen those people at parties or functions.
If you think you have to be a joke teller, you probably shouldn't tell a joke.
I completely agree with that. Would you tell my husband that for me, please? No, I'm,
everybody
maybe if it comes
can't,
from
everybody
you,
can't
listen.
Tell a joke.
Well, he just doesn't remember the punchline. It's just the most annoying thing. And then he starts going, well, what? Steve, you're supposed
to
rehearse
this. The people that get me with the jokes are the ones who take forever to tell the joke.
Well, yeah. That's
if you can't tell a joke in 20 seconds, it's not a good joke.
But I would recommend to anybody out there, but, you know, I'm a professional speaker now for a living, and it's like the more you practice something, the better it comes out. So just practice a couple times and bring it out. But I think that the key here for my book and the work that I do is I'm not suggesting that people change their personality, because that is a difficult and sometimes maybe not necessarily desirable. We all have nice personalities just the way we are. But the key is to do something that I hope you saw me do, for instance, during the breaks, that you seem to do extremely well as a host. But a host is in control, so it's a little different than going for a job interview or going to a, you know, a Chamber of Commerce meeting. But is to assume the burden of other people's comfort. I mean, you sort of touched on it when you said...
Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, and that's really the key to my new attitude here, is that it's my role when we're walking down the hall and you're Vice President of Human Resources, or we're at a function, a table of eight, and everybody's sort of playing with their food, and it's sort of one of those awkward moments. It is up to me now to come up with things to talk about or to make you feel comfortable. In the past, Jim, especially when people like you were around, well, I would plan on you coming up with something to talk about. Or if we're walking down the hall and you're the decision maker in this particular job, or well, you'd come up with something to talk about. I'm certainly, number one, you're outgoing. Number two, you're higher level than me, you'll make this a comfortable moment. No, Deb, it's up to you now to make people around you feel comfortable. Take responsibility for other people's comfort. If you're shy, then you know what I'm talking about out there in listening land.
And the thing is there are a lot of people out there who are customers, who are prospects, who are centers of influence, who are not comfortable being responsible for my comfort level. If you can do what you just said, you got a customer for life.
That's exactly right. And even during the breaks, Jim, whether you knew it or not, my goal was to make you feel comfortable with me. But I never thought of it that way. I would have thought, he's the host. He'll make me feel comfortable. I'm his guest. No. I don't even care if you're the guest of anything, of somebody's dinner party. It is up to us to make people feel comfortable, because you touched on it earlier. If I make you feel good when you're in my company, whether it be for a job interview, whether it be at a networking function, or just walking down the hall, then you'll feel good about me.
So how do we do that, though, Deborah?
Well, there's little things. Come up with, number one, be prepared. When I walk into a function or an interview, I have a couple things to talk about small talk. Obviously, I'm prepared to talk about business. Lord, I mean, all of us are prepared to talk about business. That's the problem, though. We're waiting for the order to be taken at the restaurant, and we have nothing to talk about. And when's the worst time to come up with something to talk about? Well, when there's nothing to talk about. So walk into that lunch with two or three things in your head. It could be about current events. It could be something you already know about him or her, right? You know that they... Now, there's another thing. There's so many things you can do in conversation. Look what I don't know, you haven't used it yet, but it's there for you if you want it, Jim. I let you know when you talked about jokes. Oh, you should tell my husband that, Jim. Now, you don't, because you never want to say to somebody, are you married, Jim? What kind of question is that? What if he says no? Hey, do you have any kids, Jim? Don't ask people questions like that. Now, you can ask someone, tell me about your family, but we can talk about that later.
I meet a good cook, whenever I meet a lady who's a good cook, I always ask her if she's married.
Because you want to marry me? That's adorable. I hope you're not married when you ask her that question. Okay.
I always ask that.
That's a conversation killer, Jim.
I always ask that in front of my wife. See, then it becomes a joke. See?
Oh, that's adorable. But what I've done for you is I've played the conversational game. I've given you something about me. You don't have to use it, but you can. And I gave it freely. You didn't have to go, are you married? I'd let you know I'm married. So now if you want to go back, Deb, tell me about your husband. Now, for instance, so I'm walking down the hall.
Hey, Deborah, I have to stop you. you because we have to go. But will you come back another day?
Oh, I'd love to.
The book
Sorry,
is called The Fine Art of Small Talk by Deborah Fine, F-I-N-E. Where is it available, Deborah?
It's anywhere. Borders.
Give us your website. Give us your website, Deborah.
DeborahFine.com. DeborahFine.com.
We'll see you next time, Deborah.
Thank
Good
you,
job
sir.
Today.
Bye. You too.
Bye-bye. Quick break. Right back with Russell Brown. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.